Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The good weather, necessity of socialising outdoors and the rise in staycations has led to an influx of people visiting mountains and beaches, and some areas are being really badly hit with all kinds of litter and waste. Saoirse McHugh, environmental activist who's from Achill Island, and Harold Kingston, dairy farmer from Cort McSherry are both on the line. Good morning to both of you. Saoirse, let me start with you in Mayo first off. What's being left behind on Keane Beach?
Oh, well, Keane, I suppose... everyone knows Kim. It's on all the kind of flyers and everything. There's a load being left behind. I think one of the biggest problems I see is fires being lit, and the ground is just completely scorched, and people throw bottles and stuff into the fire, so there's glass everywhere. Even though the public toilets are now open and there is a port-a-loo there, there's still a lot of people going to the toilet just on the grass, you know, up the hill, up behind the car park. And then just stuff left behind, tents, rubbish, nappies. I suppose a few of us, me and a few people, go down and try and clean up as best we can. But there's just so many people. And I would like to kind of drive home the fact that it's not everyone. You know, the vast majority of people come and camp and leave no trace and leave again. But those that don't, the place is just getting more and more kind of wrecked. And I think if you arrive in a place that's maybe not being treated very well, you're less likely to treat it as well. I know a group down there that rent out kayaks had kayaks stolen recently. And it's just like, we're facing into another summer, similar to last summer, with a huge amount of domestic tourism. And it doesn't seem like any plan has been put in place to deal with it.
If I was somebody with good intentions arriving in Keane, what kind of facilities have the County Council laid on for me to dispose of my rubbish?
There is two small bins. They're like bits of old pipe, you know, that it's like a, I think it's cement pipe or concrete pipe, and they're quite small. So there's two or three of them that are usually, you know, very full, very quick, and that's it.
There's no way for camper vans to safely empty their toilets. There's no skips for larger waste or anything like that.
No, and I think this feeds into a more general problem about how we kind of treat and manage public space. Like, I don't think Kim requires, you know, large infrastructure or any new buildings or anything like that. Like, I've often thought, if we just had a warden, like, you know, in parks in the US, if you had a warden going around making sure people were disposing of their rubbish, obviously, you would need a few more bins, but just making sure there was no fires lit, making sure people weren't, like, just last week, a few people, it looks like, just burnt out a tent right on the beach, and they had blow-up mattresses and everything in it, and then it was just, like, this big puddle of melted plastic that took ages to clean up. So I think something like a warden would really just change the whole...
Yeah. Okay, resources and regulation, I understand that. And when it comes to the cleanup, are the council doing anything, or is it being left to you and other volunteers?
Perhaps the council are doing a bit. Like, I don't want to say they're not. I suppose I haven't seen them. I know they empty the bins. But I and my poor, long-suffering partner Cullum, he's always dragged along with me. We go down and we clean up often, you know, and it's a bit gross. It's always wipes and nappies and all that kind of stuff. It's disgusting, really.
No, very, very unpleasant. And fair play to you, both of you, and anybody else who does do it. But do you then have to absorb the cost personally of disposing of that waste, or is there somewhere that you can bring it to?
Oh no, I leave it right at the Wild Atlantic Way sign for the council to pick up. Like, if I clear it up, they will pick up the bags if they're there. But it is going around picking up the bags. And there's always loads of, you know, those disposable barbecue wires?
Yeah.
And they're lethal in the sand. And it just, like, I've heard the council say they don't have the money for a warden. But like I was saying, you know, Kim is on every brochure for everything. I'm sure they can find some money somewhere to pay for a warden, just to kind of manage how people are treating the place.
And technically, legally, Saoirse, are people allowed to camp on Kim at the beach? Are there no camping signs?
I don't think the sign's there anymore, or maybe there is, but I believe it's commonage, so people can camp. And personally, like, I really like wild camping, and I think it's definitely something that can be done without negative repercussions. Like, all the national parks in the US, you can camp in. And I don't think that we need like a heavy-handed, just closing the beach response. I just think we need in Ireland maybe to develop more of a leave-no-trace culture. Like, just there at the Whit weekend, I was looking at a video because I didn't bother trying to go back to the beach because, like, sure, you wouldn't get back with all the cars. But I saw a video and there was a load of fires in the evening on the beach, but then there was one halfway up the mountain. And all I could think was, well, Jesus, if that took off now, you know, you wouldn't get an ambulance back there, you wouldn't get a fire brigade back there, and the place would be destroyed.
Now, I don't want to put you and Harold into conflict straight away, but I wonder on that wild camping thing, would you take a different view, Harold?
No, I wouldn't actually. No, and it's nice to be able to agree with Saoirse on something. But no, look, I'm in a no. Look, in terms of commonage, or whether it's land like my own in enclosed farmland and so on, it's not public land, and that's the key thing to get into people's heads here. When we talk about wild camping and people trying to think of their inner Bear Grylls or whatever, the reality is that you're camping on somebody else's property. You're not foraging for your food. You're bringing lots of plastics and convenience foods, lots of liquids of various strengths and so on as well. In most cases, in what I'm finding. And I think, you know, really it is a case that we need to have this leave no trace concept.
Do you have people who are going into field with cattle?
I've had a few who have discovered that there's cattle there after setting up camping and moved on fairly quickly and so on as well. But yeah, I have people who will flatten out silage fields or there's neighbours who've had.
But from a safety point of view, Harold, it'd be important to tell people that, you know, it's not just bulls that are dangerous when you go into a field.
Actually, the bull is probably the least dangerous animal as such. It's a cow is far more dangerous when it comes to territorial and so on. Now, if there's a bull in the field as well, the cows will become even more territorial. If there's a calf in the field, then extremely dangerous. From looking at a lot of people who come will bring dogs with them as well, and that increases mm-hmm. it maybe 10 or 20 times. And in particular, actually, in the area that Saoirse is talking about, in the commonage, you know, we and I'm involved in IFA as well, as you're probably aware. We have a no dog policy for any of those areas, simply because of the fact that sheep will become worried very quickly. You know, they don't, you know, even if the dog is on a lead, a sheep will get worried. And if it's the case that they're protecting lambs, then, you know, it could ultimately be dangerous. I've actually put up, I'm part of, there's a walk, actually, public walk crossing my land here. It's part of a longer Seven Heads walk. I was having any of the no dog signs were being taken down. I don't have a problem with dogs on the farm once people keep them under control on a lead. But that I've it done in a kind of mathematical equation. So it's dogs plus leads equals safer walkers than happy cows. And people have actually taken to that one, and sometimes it's about informing in a humorous way.
You might add to that equation by saying dogs plus leads minus litter equals safer, happy cows. I mean, what is being left behind, and has it presented dangers to your livestock?
Yeah, so, well, look, and the odd time that I'll actually have somebody set up a tent, there can be tent pegs left in the ground, which are not exactly ideal for a mower if you come across them, that could gum up the works, couldn't it? Very, very, very quickly. Not only that, but look, even animals standing on some of these sharp objects as well. I have problems with silage ground. Actually, just probably more problems in an area just beside a roadway that's coming from a beach than it is in the walking area where people are just firing stuff out of car windows and so on. They think it's all sure it's only one bottle, and they think it seems to disappear once it goes over the hedge, but the reality is that it turns up in my feed and in the winter, and I very nearly had to dump one cut of silage at one stage because there was obviously a bag had been thrown over and it blew across the field, leaving cans and bottles and all kinds of things.
Sorry, so you would have had to dump an entire cut of silage from the whole field because you couldn't tell how far throughout the silage it had been mixed?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Literally it was a case while I was feeding that particular batch of silage, I was searching it every day to make sure, because metal cans will be spotted by a silage harvester because it has a metal detector, but aluminium cans don't get spotted and really? They get shredded. Plastic bottles get shredded and actually can be sharper than the aluminium cans. So yeah, I was watching that.
Has it happened? Do you know of people who have ended up with injured livestock?
Oh yeah, I have.
You
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
What happened? So
well, that you'll get cut tongues, or you'll get animals choking and so on. There was a friend of mine actually now took a shopping bag. One of the older plastic shopping bags actually blocked the esophagus, and basically the animal just died. Plastic will build up inside an animal's stomach. It won't pass through necessarily, so it'll build up, and eventually they'll only have half the stomach available. So it's crazy stuff. The other thing I'm noticing actually as well is that there's an increase in the amount of cans more than plastic bottles, and in particular these energy drinks. There seems to be a lot of that turning up.
Litter is litter is litter. If you bring something someplace, you should bring it away with you.
What I find strange is that the energy drink obviously doesn't give enough energy to carry the can home. yesterday I found two Lucozade bottles. Actually, one of them only half drunk, just on I've an area of rocks, the shoreline, and people just obviously just stopped for their picnic and just left the bottles after them.
Saoirse, can you have wild camping in designated places, though? I mean, I know you say you're an enthusiast for wild camping, or does it need to be done within certain controlled parameters?
I suppose the whole idea of wild camping is that you could camp one night and literally there would be no change in the morning. When you leave, it's like you'd never been there. And so if we could have a culture of leave no trace camping, I would like, and this is my opinion, I would think like, well, sure, why couldn't you camp anywhere?
But it is a little bit utopian. I mean, human beings are human beings after all.
I don't know, Philip, like loads of other countries can do it and do it very well. Like I know, like in the US, it's an on the spot fine if you're littering or lighting fires. And I don't think the Irish are just, we're not
uniquely dirty.
Bad. Yeah, we're not uniquely dirty or bad at
we
camping.
Just need better regulation. Okay, Saoirse McHugh, thank you very much. And Harold Kingston, I'm afraid I'm out of time on that one. We have to take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.